speaker in the 8:30. So if you don't know me, all sincerity, I'm James Hewitt, and I'm married, one wife, three children, which is good, and four grandchildren, another one's on the way. So how's that? Is that enough information? And the reason I was away was I've just had a holiday like I've never had a holiday before so long. It was a lovely time. If you're wondering where we went, South Island of New Zealand. What a beautiful place. New Zealanders, why'd you leave? That's incredible. It's nice. Mind you, I suppose it does get a bit cool there, but, you know, that's okay. And then we just headed down the south, the east coast of Australia, around the nose, and went into Melbourne, stopped in Sydney for a while, Melbourne, and then the Great Ocean Road. What a lovely place of Australia, Great Ocean Road. And then we got to Mallacoota and we headed north and thought it was just getting a bit too cool, so we come up through the middle, Victoria, New South Wales, home. And it's good to be here. Wonderful. So great to be back and just a part of you guys. And we do appreciate being home. You know when you go on holidays, but when you get home, you enjoy being home as well? Yeah, I don't know. Is anybody like that? No? Hey, let me pray. Father, I want to thank you that your word is incredibly powerful. It's actually, metaphorically, it's like a two-edged sword. So we ask that you would just divide what isn't good in our lives from that which is good. And we just thank you and commit it to you right now. Amen. Amen. Let me read to you this morning, 3 John chapter 1. John was the oldest surviving disciple of the 12 disciples of Jesus. When he writes this, I gather he's probably in his later years, maybe even in his 90s. And he writes his what we call the Gospel of John, but he also writes these three little letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And this is the smallest of the three. It's the third. It's only got one little chapter, not as many verses as the other letters he wrote. And so in the third letter of John, chapter 1, 1 to 4, let me read it. It says, the elder, he's referring to himself there. John's saying, I'm the elder. He's not trying to promote himself. He's just stating a reality. I'm old and wrinkly. That's what he's trying to say. I'm older, the oldest of you guys. And then he talks to a good Christian friend of his, a good Christian brother, and he says to the beloved Gaius, he says, whom I love in truth. You can call him Gaius, but it's also pronounced Gaius. To the beloved Gaius. In other words, to the dear friend who I love dearly as a Christian brother in the truth. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your what? Soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brethren come and testify of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. And I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The reference there that John gives to Gaius, saying my children, is possibly because he was a convert or he became a Christian under John's ministry. Maybe that was the case. And John has a love and appreciation of all those. And I think Gaius is probably, if he's not a pastor of a church, he's probably in a church leading in some way or as a layperson and involved in church ministry. So there's the framework. There's the couple of four verses I wanted to talk about. But let me just digress for a moment to bring us back to where in that verse. I've known for many years, and you will know for many years, that when we come across a person that we have, that maybe even in church here, or you just see a person in the street, you might know them, you may not know them. There's a common statement that we'll make, and that statement is, how you going? Usually we slang it by saying, how you going, not how are you going. That's Aussie. And or it might be, what are you doing? What's up? It might be a question like that. The truth is, it's really not a question, it's just a greeting, isn't it? We're not looking for a four-page reply. We're just looking, and often the responses will be very simple. It'll be either great or doing okay, or if you know the person or they know you, they may say, oh, you know, the family's doing well, job's going okay, oh, a bit sick last week, but I'm coming out of it now. So there might be a little bit more of an explanation, but generally speaking, when we answer a question like that, I'm very aware that what we're addressing is we're addressing the outer things of life. We're talking about, you know, the outward indicators of our life. And often what we're talking about is we're talking either about, we'll mention family, or we might mention work, or all those things around us, not necessarily anything more than that. And to be honest, it's okay. That's what we've turned it into. That's our Australian way of speaking, I think. Even as I come through the doors this morning into church, someone said to me, how are you going? And I knew that she wasn't looking for me to say, well, come with me and we'll sit down and talk about it. It was just a greeting, wasn't it? I would like to suggest to you, and I think it's a good that was suggested to me this morning, is that a question that I want to ask you today is not just how you're going, not just a greeting, but how's your soul? How is your soul? Because that is a deeper question, isn't it? And it's not just talking about the outward things that we often reply to that question, to the how you're going question, but it really is how's your soul is a deeper question, because it's pertaining to the very things within your very thing, your inner person, what makes you up, what makes up the way you respond and live life and how you enjoy or don't enjoy life. And because it's very easy to answer the how you're going question, but to answer the how is your soul question takes a little bit more consideration and thought. And I'm not suggesting that we all start to ask each other how's your soul, unless you've got time that you want to go and spend together and talk about it, that'd be good. But, let's continue to greet each other, and it just seems to be that way. See, the Bible has a question. The Bible, I think if there's one question within the Bible that continually, in one form or another, continually asks us if we're a believer in Jesus Christ, and even if we're not this morning, I think it would be asking us this question, how is your soul? So we want to talk about that. We're not going to, actually after the next couple of weeks, I just want to bring this topic up and talk about it. The truth is I'm not going to have some deep sessions where we all get in little groups to talk about it, confession sessions. We're not going to have some deep therapy. That's for other times. But I do want to take a couple of weeks to talk about the part of you this morning that affects all of you. Okay? The part of you that affects all of you. In this letter that John shares with his good friend, or he talks to Gaius, we see that John is addressing something within Gaius's life. Gaius is obviously a younger man than John, as I mentioned. And he says, you know, Gaius, if there's a prayer that I pray for you, it's this is the prayer that you may prosper in all things pertaining to life, and that you may prosper in your health just as your soul prospers. In other words, John is saying, you know what, I know how healthy you are on the inside. I know you've got incredible joy and peace and hope at your future. But Gaius, I do know also that physically speaking, health-wise, it's not going so well for you. And also just generally in life, there's things that don't go well for you. And my prayer is, just as your soul prospers, my prayer is that everything else would prosper as well. That's a great prayer, isn't it? That's a great prayer. The thing is, it would not be good to make this statement to some people, because if you said to them, just like your soul is right now, I want everything else to go like that, because maybe their soul isn't going so well. And if everything else followed their soul, everything else wouldn't be so well, if you get what I'm talking about. But John deliberately and confidently says, oh, your soul is soaring. I'd love everything else to come into line with that as well for your life. And that's a great prayer. That shows us how incredibly important the soul is. Would you agree? And sometimes we can ask the question, well, what is our soul? because the truth is, it's an immaterial reality. It's a spiritual reality that we can't necessarily nail down because it's not something you can see. You know, you look in the mirror and you see your physical body, but you don't see a representation of your soul in the mirror, do you? It doesn't kind of come up with words in the mirror that say, well, your soul is, you know, anxious at the moment, or your soul is, you know, frustrated or angry, generally speaking. So I thought what we'd do today is we should define what the soul is. And when you can define what the soul is, I believe then you can truly answer that question, how is my soul going? How is my soul? So it's an important question, because there's a lot of questions you ask. If you go to a mechanic, he's going to ask, how is your car? Thank you. Are we there this morning? If you ask a doctor, if you go to a doctor, he's going to ask, how is your health? If you go to an accountant, he's going to ask you, how is your finance? If you go to your father-in-law, he's going to ask you, how is your finance? Whatever it may be. I don't ask that question of my son-in-laws. I just get them to show me their bank statements. No, I don't. But no, it's cool. So we'll just take a moment. How do we define the soul, this immaterial reality, this spiritual reality? Because I think once we can define it, then we can start to answer appropriately, and we can really truly understand how our soul is going and how important our soul is, and to understand what's happening within us. So let me give you three definitions this morning. In the text, I'll start with this, in the text of the Bible that we read in John chapter 1, John refers to three things in Gaius' life. He talks about his general life, he talks about his health, and he talks about his soul. And as I've already stated, he's saying, you know, your soul is thriving, but generally your physical health and your general life is not maybe as well. And so clearly we see John makes a distinction that there's things that are around us, there's things that are very material, and there's some things that are not as material, like our soul. It's within us. It's not seen. And so my first definition of what our soul is this, is a soul is the part of you that's beneath the surface, okay? Because there's many things that we see in life. You know, your body is very physical. You look at your body. You look at your reflection in the mirror. You see it every day. But your soul isn't reflected in that mirror. It's something that is beneath the surface. Now, you might have said, oh, yeah, I can understand that. Well, my simple definitions are, because they may be simple in definition, but they're profound in thought, and we need to understand this. As way of illustration, last Sunday, there is a town or city in South Australia called Mount Gambier. And last Sunday, while we were having church or sometime during that day, there was in the one part of that city, within the inner part of the city, there was what a collapse happened, which is called a sinkhole. Do you know what a sinkhole is? It's where the upper subsoil or the surface level of the ground just sinks dramatically and very quickly into the ground beneath. And this sinkhole in Mount Gambier 7 days ago was about 2 meters wide, two meters square, and it was about 2 meters deep. So it wasn't massive. But the reason they said that it sunk is because the limestone layers of rock underneath the surface had been eaten away over some years, not just in a moment, obviously, because Mount Gambier apparently built on a lot of limestone. And because that limestone has been eaten away by the rain, which is, if you didn't know, rain is slightly acidic, okay? And so it will eat stuff, but not that acidic that it'll do us any damage. I mean, we drink it, but over time it can leach into limestone and disintegrate it slowly. And so what we found is that obviously the limestone had been eaten away on this particular path and bitumen area in Mount Gambier, and it rained again, quite a lot of rain in Mount Gambier that in the last week or so, and it caused the subsoil, because it had no support, what did it do? It collapsed in on itself. Thankfully, no one was walking on the path, so no one got hurt, And since then, I've read another news report that has actually grown a bit, so they've put a big barrier around it. Interesting enough, thankfully no one was hurt, but unlike a sinkhole that happened in 2013 in Florida in a city called Tampa Bay, there's a guy called Jeffrey Bush. He's 37 years of age. He was asleep on the 28th of February 2013 in his bedroom, in his bed, and a sinkhole opened up directly under his room, swallowed him, his bed, his room, and took him 20 meters down. Now, that's from here to that, nearly to the back row. That's a fair way to fall, isn't it? His family heard some commotion. They came, opened the door of his room, and it's all gone. It's just all gone. They're peering over the edge. They ring the authorities, the ambulance, fire brigade turned up, rescue teams turned up in the middle of the night. They were setting up their rescue stuff around the edge, ready to somehow, you know, they wanted to find this man, Jeffrey. The hole opened up wider and it swallowed their rescue equipment. That's when they shut the house up. They took all the family and put them other places and they barricaded this hole. They eventually, as the weeks and months, they had to of course, demolish the house. Now, Jeffrey, you might ask the question, what happened to Jeffrey Bush? They never found Jeffrey Bush and they never recovered his body to this day, 10 years later. So that would have been a bit of a grief to the family, to say the least. I'm just trying to emphasize how dangerous sinkholes can be, okay? Praise God that we haven't got many in Gladstone. Yeah. Okay? I do believe in the main street they had a small one sometime in the last several years. That's because there's a river that used to go from the duck pond right through town, across the car park of the valley there, if you didn't know, and it has created some problems for them. Anyway, moving on. So the potential for sinkholes, you know what? It looks fine on the surface, but underneath is a problem that is developing, which no one sees, but given the right conditions, will swallow all that looks fine on the surface. And, you know, you can know our lives look like one of those sinkholes sometimes. And on the surface, everything about our life seems fine. People can seem to be productive. They can seem to be successful, capable. They got it together. You ask them a question, how you going? And they say, great, good. But beneath the surface, unfortunately, maybe they're feeling a little numb, fatigued, disappointed, anxious. Maybe sensing they don't know it, but there's some insecurities. They're upset with something and got quite bitter about it. Or maybe they're just feeling resentful or fatigued in some way. And so, you know, the reality is everything looks okay. Who knows that we can dress up this, but inside you can't reach in there and dress that up. Besides, apart from the reality and the moving of God's Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives to deal with it. And so we've got to look a little bit. Can I just ask you, what's beneath the surface of your life today? Come on. There's times when we just got to be honest. Because you know what? God wants you to live a life that's fulfilling, filled with hope, love, joy, and peace, so that you can be productive and truly productive in life. But there can be more stuff happening beneath the surface than we care to admit. And maybe in our most honest moments, maybe some of us could say that, we could say this, at any given moment, my internal world could collapse because I just don't feel like what's in me could sustain the responsibility of the weight that I'm carrying at the moment. And maybe you're carrying some weight. There's nothing to be ashamed of. We can all carry weight at different times. I've come to the conclusion that what's within us is the thing that sustains us. It's not what we've got around us. So, what's happening beneath the surface? Paul, who's a follower of Jesus, he wrote a letter to a church, and we're in this town called Ephesus, which is modern-day Greek area on the Mediterranean Sea. And this is what Paul said. And interesting enough, he doesn't say to them, I just want you to be healthy and fit in your bodies. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. He didn't say, you know, hope your kids get good grades at school, which would be a good thing. And he doesn't pray that they'll get a pay rise in the new financial year, which would be great, amen. And the new financial year is literally 2 days old. He doesn't say any of that, but this is what he does say. He says in Ephesians 3:16, He says, he prays that God would grant you according to the riches of his glory, not according to your bank balance, not according to your health status, not according to your friendship levels or numbers of people in your life, no, according to his riches and glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit, where? In the inner person, hey. Inner man, which is generic for inner person. He wants you to be strengthened in that area. See, can you see what Paul's saying? He says, I'm thrilled that maybe you get all the other things like health, etc., but there's one thing that's vitally important. One thing that I'm really praying for. And I'm praying that you may experience the strengthening power of God's Holy Spirit in your inner person, in your inner being. That's what I'm praying for. That's what I'm believing for. Because the truth is, if your inner being is healthy, and if your inner being is full of strength and power, that's amazing how you can face and overcome any obstacle and challenge that you may, that there is, if you, you know, in what you may face in life. If you're full of Him in here, Paul emphasizes that to the church at Corinth, and actually 2 Corinthians, you know what he says? He says in chapter 4, 16, therefore do not lose heart. He says, even though our outward man is what? Perishing. Come on, we're getting older all the time, aren't we? I know as much as I try to stop that, that's going to continue to happen. We can exercise, go for it. We can paint it up, go for it. But the reality is that it's getting older, and that's okay, because I love what Paul says. He says, though our outward person is perishing, our inward person, our inward man is being renewed day by day. I love the Christian faith because it promises us, it gives us a hope, and it gives us a reality that, you know, the outward may fade, but the inward can get stronger. Get stronger because of Him in us. You know, I've seen some people face some incredible battles, sickness, cancer, injustice, different pressures, outwardly under the pump, but inwardly they're smiling, full of faith, have a promise from God. They praise God in the dark times. They learn how to pray in the difficult times. They worship God even when they don't feel like it. There's just something within them, you know, that's far greater than who they are. It's Him in us. You know, that outwardly they're strong, but they have found inwardly they can be incredibly strong. And that inner strength outstrips the outward struggle or weight upon their shoulders. It outstrips it, and it leaves a residue of hope and joy and peace and love because of Him. And I think that's beautiful. If there's ever an example of that, I think our dear Alice Marbach, who's just recently passed away and was a little funeral on Wednesday. I mean, her prayer was, Lord, I'm ready. For the last couple of years, it's either been saying that to Pastor Malcolm or me or to her friends and family, I'm ready, God. And you know what? She faced it with an incredible element of peace. Alice wasn't a ha-ha, you know, laughing person, but she was certainly just full of peace. And it's because of the inner strength that lady had. 97, and it said, my time's up, I want to go home. And in her sleep, she went home, which is beautiful, isn't it? Well, maybe not in her sleep. Apparently, she did open one eye just before she passed and was looking at a couple of the ladies who were there beside her bed, and then she just stopped breathing. And you know what they said about, I was talking to Cora Marbach, and they said, you know, when someone came, either the palliative care or maybe the funeral directors, and they said, gee, she died peacefully. And they said, oh, how do you know that? They said, oh, you should see when they don't. She looks peaceful. And I think, God, that's the way I want to go. And that all comes from this simple thought that outwardly we're fading, but inwardly we can get better and better and stronger and stronger. They're incredible what God does. It's a bit like that movie with Brad Pitt. When, you know, have you seen that movie where he's born as an old person, but as he gets older physically, I mean, what's it called? Benjamin Button on holidays. It came up on the television one night. You know, Michelle and I decided, well, we'll watch that. And what a stupid film! But anyway. But he gets better looking as he gets. He gets better looking. It's the reverse of what really does happen. He was getting better looking as he went on, got older, but his inner person was fading Well, it's the reverse for Jesus, isn't it? Our outer person fades, our inner person can get stronger. Anyway, there you go. Crazy movie. The trouble is, you've got to watch it to the end, don't you? Just to see what... Anyway, there were some bits we just went very quickly through, by the way. Or we just turned down the sound and talked to each other. Some movies. Anyway, King David had this to say. He said this, and we sang it this morning. He said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." What? Bless his holy name. You know, David knew in all the pressures he faced as a young man, for 10 years he was in the wilderness, chased by his father-in-law Saul, the king Saul, hated, lost his marriage, lived in caves, blah, blah, blah. And then when he was king, there was incredible pressures upon his life. You know what he knew? He said this. David recognized that the outer world was not going to be there forever, but the inner world that he needed to maintain if he was going to live in this world. And he said, "You know, Father, I'm not asking for riches, I'm not asking for fame, but you know what? In my soul, I need to know your touch. I need to know your blessing in here, in my life." So here's the question: how's your soul? How's your soul? Let's move on. You know, in our text, so the first is just to realize that our soul is the part that's beneath the surface. Here we go. In the text today, we see in our Bible text, Gaius had a strong and healthy soul, as stated by John. Unfortunately, he wasn't doing so well in the body health and body department. And it was actually referenced here, the word health, the word being health actually literally means to be well in body, unwell in body because of unhygienic practices. So there is a thought that Gaius, while he was incredibly diligent with his soul, love, joy, peace, he wasn't so diligent with his hygienic practices, and so he was not 100% well. I don't know, maybe he didn't clean his teeth and it got decay and it started to affect him. Maybe he was out too many nights in the cold winds of Jerusalem on winter nights witnessing for Jesus, and he just should have spent one night at home, maybe just not being so cold. I don't know what the problem was. Maybe he had ammonia or something that happened on those windy nights. But what we see is there is a reference here. I'm not going to make too much of it, but possibly that he wasn't as well as he could be. And so we see he was neglecting his maybe the areas of his health. And that wasn't good. And John recognized that and said, you know, your soul's soaring, but your health, that needs to come in. You need to be aware of that. And there was something that we can see Gaius could have done about that and looked after himself, but maybe he wasn't as good as that he should have been. Here's the point I want to make. The second definition for our souls is that we can neglect something, and then often the thing that we neglect is not our outward body so much. We neglect because we live in a pretty wonderful day of wonderful medical things that happen. We have medicine. We have many things. We can look after ourselves. We can exercise. We can even eat right, can't we? We could do a lot of positive things, but we see for Gaius that wasn't happening. And so the soul is the part of you. This is my second definition. The soul is the part of you that can be most what? Neglected. And you know why I think it's most neglected? Because typically it's because it's the unseen part of us. Your soul doesn't turn up, your soul doesn't, you don't get this 3-page report on your soul that God just spits out on your laptop every day, an email from God saying, "Oh, this is your soul. Maybe just deal with these." You don't get that. But it's very easy to see a lot of other things that are happening in the outside, in the physical world. You know, when I've come home from holidays, I've come home to the grass. It's about knee high. Now, not this time, because I've got a wonderful son-in-law who mowed my lawn a couple times. So I appreciate that. But, other times, when you don't mow your lawn and you keep on saying, you just keep on putting it off. Tomorrow, I've got to mow that tomorrow, next weekend. And before you know it, it's this high and it's really hard to mow. But you know what? The fact is you do get around to it because it's in your face all the time. I remember, when we were away on holidays, I was looking in the mirror and I thought, because I usually get a haircut every kind of 4 or 5 weeks. And I was away for a little while and I look in the mirror and thinking, far out, it's growing. And, I have these eyebrows that, that were getting really bushy. And they get so long sometimes that the eyebrows, these long strands, and they hang down. And when the wind blows my face, they tickle my eyelashes. It's a reality for me. You got to understand, this is one of the great burdens of my life. And so I'm sorry if I did. When I got home last week from away on holidays, I didn't come and visit too many people, but I did go to a lady called Shah, and she cut our hair straight away. The day after I got home, Michelle and I went to the hairdressers. That's what I'm telling you. You didn't want to see me before then. Anyway, the reality is, why do we get our hair cut? Why do we do all these things that are necessary? Because it's seen. We can see it. It's very clear. We know we've got to deal with that. But the soul is unseen, and so we neglect it, not purposely, but sometimes typically. Because we fail to look a little deeper sometimes than the skin that's on our face. Peter, disciple of Jesus, said something about our soul. He said this, 1 Peter 2:11, he says, "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles, to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against your soul." So he's talking, and he's not talking to a bunch of non-believers here, he's talking to the Christians. He said, you know, you're foreigners, you're just passing through this world, you're here for, let's all hope we can live here for 97 years like Alice, and that'd be nice and still have our mind. But the reality is we're passing through, and he says, you know, there's something that's going to wage a war against your soul. It wants to consume you like a sinkhole. It wants to take you under, and it's this. It's the sinful desires that wage war against our soul. Every one of us face sinful desires. With stuff we know we just don't need to get involved in. And sometimes we can say, well, it's just a little bit. I'm just taking a little bit from work. I'm not really taking a lot of things. I'm not stealing a lot of stuff. The fact that I'm using the word stealing might kind of ring a bell straight away. You know, we can say, well, you know, it's just a little bit of unforgiveness. I'll deal with it eventually. You know, it's amazing. A little bit of, I struggle a little bit with lack of self-control at times in what I speak and what I say. I know I don't have filters like I should have. I it's just a little bit, but who knows? We won't get away with it because every action is recorded by our soul, and every day our character is being made and unmade. Neglect of our soul is not a healthy strategy, is it? Because our soul is being determined by the actions and thoughts and words and things that we do each day. I want to make my soul better. I don't want to make it worse. There's been a prayer that I've had. I was reading Proverbs while I was away, and there was so many scriptures in there that talk about the soul, but there's one proverb that says, you know, God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto you, O God. And that's been a kind of a prayer this last couple of months. God, may the words of my mouth, what I speak, because what you speak, you can't reach out and, you ever spoken something, oh, I wish I could eat my words. You can't, it's gone, it's out there. And then the meditations of my heart, oh, I don't need to think on that. You know, Job said this, he says, God, that I will not look on a woman with any lust. It says in Job. So true, hey. Be careful of the meditation. So we see that definition one, the soul's beneath the surface. Definition two, typically it's that part of us that we neglect, and we'll finish with this. And I'll draw your attention again to the verse 2 of 3 John chapter 1. It says, John's implying, I'll read the verse again, "Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that you may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well." That's the New International Version. John is implying here that unless we address the health of our soul, nothing else in life will truly prosper. Did you get that? So my third definition is, your soul is a part of you that affects all of you. I can't get away with it. What's in here is going to affect everything else. Have you ever taken an item of clothing and unknowingly, or someone sticks it in, and it's a blue t-shirt and it's never been washed before, but somehow it got in the washing and it's with the whites. Guess what the whites would look like afterwards? A tingy blue, wouldn't it? Oh, when I was a bachelor before I got married, I had a good mum. She told me, don't wash the coloureds with the whites. I never did until those days when I thought, well, I've washed this t-shirt 3 or 4 times. It's surely not going to run anymore. I want to put everything in together. I'm on a time frame here. I need to be somewhere. So I stick it all in. It's amazing how it still has an effect on the whites, doesn't it? I remember once I had a pair of work pants, and they were kind of, I'd worn them so much, the grey had washed out, and they'd be kind of come a very light grey. But somehow, this day, they came out with a tinge of pink. And I don't know how it happened. I think I must have been one of those days where I just threw everything in. Silly me. Thankfully, after a couple of washes, I was able to wear them again, because I wasn't going to wear pink to work, especially in a work environment, the power station. But what I'm saying, that this is the true of our soul, because the color of your soul will become the color of your life. And that's why what's on the inside will work its way through to the outside. And you can manage bitterness for a little while, but it'll start to come out and how you react, and we start to react quickly. It starts to come out in our words. You can manage suppressed frustrations for a while, but it will start to come out in how you react, so quickly to react. Or you can push down insecurity for a time, but it comes out when others when others are complimenting someone, maybe you can't compliment them. You're just thinking, I don't want to compliment them. I got all the bad thoughts about them. And maybe it's because something within you is insecure about that situation. Look, I don't know, there's a myriad of situations that we can face, but you know what, when something bad comes out, I have it happen, and I think, you know what, something within me is not right in here, and I didn't know it. It's amazing, we think it all of a sudden happens real quick. No, it's been building up for a while, it's been developing, it's been beneath the surface, and something all of a sudden, in a moment of pressure, a moment of stress, something comes out of my mouth, and I think, where did that come from? And it comes from here, inside. And I think, you know what? I got to deal with that. I got to deal with that. But whatever is in your soul eventually bleeds into our outer worlds. So I ask again, how's your soul? Peter said this. Because I'm well aware that we have a lover of our soul. He's Jesus. And Jesus cares for the condition of your soul. He knows the condition of your soul. He sees the condition of all our souls today. More than anything, this God we love and worship, He literally looks into our soul today. He can see past our outer frame, how beautiful and handsome and gorgeous and attractive and all of us look, but He sees something else, and He looks into our soul. And He wants to see how beautiful and handsome and attractive and right that soul is. But you know what? When He even sees that it's a bit grimy and it's not really doing well, it looks a bit ugly in our soul, you know what? He still cares for our soul. He still acknowledges the problems. He sees the problems. And more than anything, He wants to restore your soul. Because David says in Psalm 23, and it's a true psalm, and it's right. He says, you know what? This is what David says. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And then it says in verse 3, so He can what? Restore my soul. I want to give you good news today. Our soul can be restored. And that's why, though our outer man is fading, our inner man can be renewed through His presence. So what do you need today? I loved it today, that song. What do you need today? Because Jesus is all those wonderful names. The Bible talks about all these incredible things that God is. And you know, and sometimes maybe it's just a little bit of humility that we need. It's needed to say to Jesus, I'm actually not where I should be. I love God, but there's stuff under the surface I just need to bring to Him. And Peter says that we can have a tendency, and maybe you've been in church all your life, or been here 3 years, and never missed church. But within us, we can still go astray. You can be in a fellowship, but you're still in your heart, there's some things that can still go astray. I know I'm being honest today because I'm talking about myself as much as anything. And so maybe today, whatever Jesus you need, He's the great shepherd to our souls. Because in 1 Peter 2:25, we'll just put that one up. It says, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now return to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul. Who's the overseer? Jesus is the overseer of our soul, the great shepherd. And he knows where we stray in our heart. But he still reaches out. He says, come on, come away from that. Don't stray. Come back. And maybe today you're hungry for peace. He can be the bread of life. And maybe today he's thirsty. You're thirsty for some truth in your life, and he can be the spring of living water. And maybe today, you know, you think, well, there's some broken bits about me, and the truth is he comes to bind up the brokenhearted. And maybe you're lonely today. Well, he's a brother that sticks closer, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Maybe you feel anxious. He's our comfort. You feel in the dark on the inside, and he's the light of the world. Maybe you feel like there's some things that have died inside. Well, he's the resurrection and the life. And the truth is he can resurrect you and restore you and bring you out again. There's always a hope in Christ. There's always a hope in Christ. Because he is the restorer of our soul, folks. Can we stand this today? I just want to pray for you today. And it's not my prayer that's any better than anybody else's, but I suppose my passion today is that that Jesus is the overseer of our soul, and we need to yield to him. We're not trying to beat something up and trying to say the things that aren't there, but if there's something today that you just know, Father, some stuff that really hurt, maybe it's been dealt with already, praise God for that. But maybe today still there's stuff that just nags at your heart and comes up every now and then, and it comes out and you don't like it when it comes out. Oh, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Can I just pray for you today? And I'd love you just to be honest, because we close our eyes so that we could just have a moment of our personal time with God. Could you just lift your hands today, and behind your hand will just be your heart. So just pray. And as you lift your hand, lift your heart to him. Holy Spirit's present today. You know, you can say, well, come and lay hands on me. Yeah, we'll do that sometime. But you know, right now, why don't you just allow the Holy Spirit to lay his hands upon you? Right where you are. Someone's struggling with anger, and I kind of sense it's a guy that really struggles, and you're a good person, but that anger just erupts sometimes. You think, where in the world did that come from? God just wants to restore that today, set you free. Someone's really anxious about a situation that continually props its head up, and then it goes away and you're okay, and then it comes up again and bang, anxiety hits you. Could you just lift your hand today? I just want to pray. Father, today, on people's lives, I've got their hands raised. I just thank you for each of them. We're honest enough to say we need more of you, Holy Spirit. More of your power, more of your presence, more of your love in our lives. And we pray that you'd come and minister and deal and work a good work, because you're the restorer of our soul. You're not the destroyer of our soul. The devil is, but you're the restorer. So begin your restoration. We're a building site under construction, so restore us, Father. In Jesus' name. You do what no man can do, Holy Spirit. I pray upon every heart and every life that's raised their hand right now. In Jesus' name, we just honor you and worship you. Amen. Come on, we're going to sing this song. Let's continue just to honor him, worship him. There's so many times that I've come with a pain, a heartache, whatever, and just in worship. And he's relieved it. He's restored me. He's brought about newness of life. We thank you today. In Jesus' name. Come on.
You are the medicine, the only cure for everything I feel within.
Yes, Lord.
Redeeming what was lost and all that could have been. Oh, this is a healing kind of love. You are the truest friend, staying through the night when I was at my end. Comfort in my heart till it was light again. Oh, this this is a faithful kind of love. Everlasting Father, trust your time and I will rest secure. Oh, this is a steady kind of love.
Father, we thank you that authority, all authority rests upon your shoulders. And if all authority rests on your shoulders, you have authority to strengthen us and for us to have authority to stand on your word and your truth. And Father, to walk in your victories, to walk in that joy and love and peace that we so long for in life, that the world can't give and the world will never be able to take away if we have it from you. So we commit ourselves to you. We thank you today. And we look to you in Jesus' name. We live in a very material world. Help us not to forget you in every part of every day and be blinded by the push that the world continually has upon our hearts and minds of this and that and the things of this world. But to walk in the Spirit and not in the things of the flesh. So we commit ourselves to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Have a great day, church. Encourage someone. That'd be great.